Hello, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio, and welcome to Faith in Action. It's a new show. It's locally produced here in Sioux City by Channel 88.1 FM, and it airs every Monday at 9 a.m. and replays every Saturday at 7 p.m. And then also you can find the podcast of this show at fhcradio.com. Well, I'm Joanne Fox. I'm a Siouxland Catholic Radio board member, and I am your host for today's show. Thank you so very much for tuning in. Well, I think most listeners would agree that prayer lives can be a challenge. We seem to have so much busyness that it's hard to block off time for prayer. And so this show literally is about how we can enhance our prayer lives and our relationships with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit. We're going to offer a lot of strategies on today's show. So that's why we want you to stay tuned, because I think you're going to gain a lot of information. And I have two wonderful guests joining me today. I think the world of both of these women, and they really bring strong backgrounds about how one can pray. And I want to welcome to the program Mother Kateri Marie. She is with the Order of Discalced Carmelite Sisters. We have their mother house. Well, I don't know if that's correct, but we have the convent here in Sioux City. We have been blessed having their presence in Sioux City. Thank you, Bishop Joseph Miller, for bringing them to Sioux City. And I welcome to the program Mother Kateri Marie.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, Mother Kateri, would I say you are the superior of the convent, or kind of, honestly, listeners, been in Catholic journalism almost my entire life, but I want to make sure that I'm correct in explaining your relationship in the convent.
Well, it's interesting that you were hesitating about monastery or mother house, because this is true. With the Carmelite order, it's unique in that it doesn't have a mother house. Every Carmelite monastery is autonomous, and so the prioress, and that is the head of those sisters in the monastery, is actually a major superior, and she's referred to as the prioress or the superior. Either one fits, but we usually say prioress.
Okay, excellent. And I'm sure the listeners would like to know a little bit about yourself, so could you share with the listeners, Mother Kateri, a little about yourself?
I'd be glad to, and you stop me when it gets too long, okay?
I will do that.
Well, I was born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I was the second of five children, three girls, two boys. Our youngest little boy brother, we call him Little Michael, was born with a mental handicap, and due to the RH factor. So, but bless his heart, he was the most loving little boy, and he had the biggest smile and the biggest contagious laugh. That when he got into mischief, we all had to laugh with him, but it also became serious at times. So anyway, I mention him because I think in my life, he was very special in that to all of us children, all his brothers and sisters, because he taught us how to not be selfish. That doesn't mean we were none of us selfish, of course, but it did help us to learn how to be responsible for our little brother and not make precedence our playtime. We had plenty of it our time, but we always had to watch little Michael that he didn't run away out the gate. He has since died, and we call him our little saint in heaven now because he wasn't able to sin, and I always think that's a beautiful thought. At any rate, I was privileged to attend Catholic school from grade 1 to 12. And I say that's a privilege. The older I get, the more I am grateful for that Catholic background. When we got into high school, I was having a tugging of my heart to give my life to God and to be a religious. And those days, we had a lot of the teachers were nuns, and I think that was very, very influential to me, and I think that's where I got my vocation, basically. But at the same time, even though I visited the mother house of the nuns that I thought I was interested in, I was still hesitating because, you know, that's a pretty big step, and I wasn't too courageous at the time. And so in my hesitation, my sister came along, who was interested in being a lay missionary, and she never said anything to me except one time when I wanted to go to a dance. I said, would you lend me your car, Marilyn, so I could pick up my friends and go to a dance? She said, sure, but on one condition, that you go with me to the Day of Recollection that we're having on Saturday. I said, sure, that's no problem. So I had a nice time at the dance, and the next day I went to Day of Recollection. And I was smitten, literally, by the priest's conference. I thought I never heard a priest speak like this before. And it was all about loving Jesus and how we could spread the gospel and teach other people how. And I was just mesmerized. And when I talked to him, we talked about joining the lay missionaries with my sister. And, of course, I wanted to do that. If there were priests like this helping us, this would be great. But plus, I'm sure there was a little of that hesitation in my back of my mind, thinking this might not be as big of a step into the convent. You know, I'll still be out here in the world, and I can see my family. So as it turned out, I spent about 30 years working with the Glen Mary Lay missionaries in the southern regions, with in the Appalachia area, helping the poor. And I also became a licensed practical nurse, which made me a kind of a supporting person in the houses. During that 30 years, I had an inclination and a desire to enter a Carmelite monastery, which I did, and I did not persevere. And I suspect, as I look back, it might have been the enclosure. Being a missionary and driving all over the backwoods and hills of North Carolina and South Carolina, it was beautiful and freeing, and I'm sure that being in an enclosure after that was difficult for me. That's the only thing I can say, because I really wanted to be there. But I did leave. The desire never left me, and one time I had the deep privilege of meeting Father Thomas Dubay, and I asked him to help me discern, which he did. Still being hesitant about the enclosure, I thought maybe I should be a hermit. So I spent a year and a half at a place where I lived next to a community of nuns and priests that did apostolic work and 6 hours of apostolic work and 6 hours of prayer, contemplative prayer. And so I spent my time there for about a year and a half, doing maintenance work for my keep. And then I woke up one morning and I realized I needed a community. And I didn't need a community because I was lonely, but as a hermit, I found myself perfect. I never got impatient. I was perfectly charitable with everybody I lived, and I obeyed all my orders very well. And as you can see, I wasn't going to make any progress that way. So I decided that I needed some incarnational obedience. So I started the search over again with Father's help and went to visit. I came to Sioux City, to the monastery here. Father had a great deal of affection for the sisters here at the time. And so I came here, but then I went to other places that might have had more of a hermit atmosphere plus a community. And I went to one place in Minnesota, and I said to myself, this is perfect. This is everything I'm looking for. And but I did not have peace about joining them. I just wasn't there. I was puzzled, and I went to the superior, and I explained that to her, and she says, well, just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. And I said, okay. So I walked back to my little hermitage and sat on the cot and said, follow your heart, follow your heart. And in my head, I didn't hear voices, but I heard very clearly in some special way, your heart is in Sioux City. So my heart is in Sioux City. And I believed it very readily because I knew that my experience here was a very good one. I had I really saw within the sisters a great deal of charity and joy. It was with simplicity. It was a very good experience that I had. So I must have left there in a few days and called Mother Therese, whom you know, I'm sure.
Yes, I do.
Yes, and I asked her if I could come, and she said, you sure can. So even though I was a little bit over the age limit, they let me come, and I've been here since then, and I'm very happy and peaceful.
And we agree that it is a joy to have you here with our Discalced Carmelite Sisters. But listeners, as you know, we always take a short break during this Faith in Action program to give a shout-out to our supporters and our underwriters. So that's what we're going to do right now. But we urge you to stay tuned because we will be right back.